Give me an example of an experience that you've had as a public leader that you believe prepared you to be a member of Congress.
Well, I think the flood situation in Cedar Rapids is an enormous one. We had 5,000 houses hit and 1,100 small businesses and 300 public facilities. And, you know, there's a lot by the numbers. But forgetting the numbers, think about when I looked in the eyes of the people who had lost everything and knew that we not only needed to minister to them and help them get back on their feet, you know, the homeowners and the small businesses, but also that we would have to, as a council, set, a plan in place and then continue to work that plan while continuing to get public input and continuing to figure out the dollars we'd have or not have for recovery. I mean, it was a multifaceted, multi-dimensional kind of a thing. And you only do it by continuing to have compassion for people, keeping your heart and your ears open, while at the same time continuing to move forward and make the tough decisions. And I really believe in those first 5 years after the flood, we had to make 50 years of decisions, and we did it. And we're in a much better place today. We didn't do everything perfectly, but I think we have recovered better than ever. And we've set the pace for a bright future in our community.
Along with the property losses, there were also a number of jobs that were lost, and there were jobs that were lost all across the state of Iowa. What do you think is one thing that you can do in Congress to help create jobs in Iowa?
You know, I think one of the things that I would look at as a market researcher, my background was in listening to people, listening to consumers and customers about their hopes and dreams and their, you know, what's good and bad about products and services, and taking products to market. And I think that we ought to do more with the technology transfer abilities we have from our research institutions. And rather than the kind of dollars where we put in over $100 million into a large enterprise, I would rather see us looking at those wonderful pieces of technology that come out of Iowa State and Iowa and perhaps out of UNI and other colleges and institutions, and assist entrepreneurs into taking those from the laboratory to the production floor and out to sell around the globe. I think that would help a lot. I also think that in order to compete, we're going to have to make sure that we are investing in people, meaning education from early childhood through good post-secondary training. As well as I'd like to invest in infrastructure. I think that puts people back to work, but also B, when you invest in infrastructure, private investment follows. And we have seen that in Cedar Rapids. And I think those are some things that we can do.
Continuing on an employment line of questioning, a recent Iowa poll shows 65% of those polled support an increase in the minimum wage. How do you feel about an increase in the minimum wage?
I believe we've got to increase the minimum wage. I support Senator Harkin's bill, the 1010. I think that we have not kept up with wages. I think that, you know, this is a much more dignified way to get dollars to people that they have earned. Otherwise, we have more people on food stamps and, who need housing vouchers, et cetera. I also believe really strongly that you not only talk the talk, but you walk it. And so 10 years ago, I raised my minimum wage in my company to $10 an hour. And most of our workers made quite a bit more than that, but that would be, for example, for interns and maybe telephone interviewers. And we did that because we could see 10 years ago that that was a fair level for people.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about agriculture. The proposed changes to the renewable fuel standards seem to signal that the administration may move away from grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. What would you do in Washington to work on a bipartisan bill or legislation on energy policy that would benefit not only Iowans, but still have a national appeal?
Well, you know, I support ethanol, and I support, finding renewables that are not fossil fuels. I think we've got to continue with that. I would be looking pretty strongly at, I'm in favor of the renewable fuel standard. I think that that's been important. I'm concerned about continuing to bolster up big oil. I think that there are all kinds of ways that we can work on climate together. But I think you do have to find some common ground. I do like Secretary Vilsack's push forward into using biofuels. But I know that some of the, just the technology isn't there. So I think we've got to invest in technologies to do that. One of the things I've been talking about on the campaign trail is, you know, just as we led on space, we didn't sit around and complain about Sputnik. Kennedy said, in 10 years, we'll put a man on the moon. What did it take to do that? Not just government leadership, but there was government leadership. It was government. It was our institutions of higher learning had to invent technologies to do that. Our businesses got involved, such as Rockwell Collins here in Cedar Rapids. And certainly labor built a lot of the pieces. I think instead of just talking about climate, we lead with a national climate policy. We put some deadlines on things and some requirements. We put some incentives out there. And we get government arm in arm with our institutions of higher learning, you know, with the technologies for more sun power, better sun power, wind power, advanced biofuels, and all kinds of renewables. And then we let business know about this and offer those incentives and expect them to build it. And I think that that's how we do it.
And you made mention of Tom Vilsack, a former Iowa governor, now heading up the Agriculture Department. But even so, farmers were kept in limbo for years over new farm policies. How will you represent the interests of agriculture and rural communities in an environment and from a district that is heavily urban?
Well, I think that when you look at Iowa, you know that one out of every, 12 jobs, well, across the nation is ag. You look at Iowa and it's a, many more than that. We are an agricultural-based state, and you can never forget that. I think that going forward, there's three things that I think about. One is that no matter what the farm policy is, number one, you've always got to have some sort of a safety net, a strong safety net. And I think that's what this new farm bill does. It takes it from, you don't grow something and you're paid to know what's going to happen is we're going to help. Farming is a highly volatile, risky business, and so the farm bill has to have safety net in it. Number two, I would say we've got to support some kind of a level of sustainable productivity, which means we've just got to continue to support continued research on production and protection. So, that's where we support our institutions like Iowa State University that are helping agriculture. And then I think the third thing is vibrant markets. We've got to have vibrant markets for agricultural products. And, that's where I think that if we look at production agriculture in Iowa, it's food-based, but it also can be renewable energy. And I'd like to see more done with the healthy food aspect of things. So I think there's a lot that can be done, and some of my market research has been on ag issues, and so I think I can bring a lot to the table.
You're campaigning to join Congress at a time when its approval ratings are some of the lowest in history, hovering in the low to mid-teens in most cases, and this has also been called a do-nothing Congress. In what areas can you imagine compromising with the other party to get something accomplished for Iowa?
Oh, I think there are so many places. I think that I'm hearing from people all over that are talking about the importance of bringing back the middle class. Our country is based on consistent consumption by the middle class. And I think that equal pay for equal work is so key. When you have nearly two-thirds of the households either fueled entirely by a woman's salary or in part, You know, if we don't get to equal pay for equal work for women, we not only hurt women, we hurt families throughout our nation, and we hurt the middle class. So I think that Paycheck Fairness Act is just a beginning, but it's a great beginning, and we need to get that passed. I think, as we talked about, the minimum wage is important. I think that the flexibility, you know, for families is something we can certainly talk about. I mean, I'm the kind of person that is used to getting people to the table to solve problems and get things done. That's my style. I'm used to working with people. I think also the immigration reform is something that we have heard Republicans talk about wanting to do. They understand that we need immigration reform. They may have different ideas. I certainly believe in the pathway to citizenship, and I believe in not separating families. But I also think that, you know, we've got to have rules about these things and looking at our borders. But it has been way too long since we've looked at this, and it does need to be reviewed. There are signals, I think, that Republicans would like to do something in this area.
Nearly every candidate running for office always says they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. Name a program or a department that you would cut and why.
Well, you know, I think that we get into deficits probably in three different ways. You know, I think we get into deficits through our conflicts and wars we get into. We get into deficits when the economy tanks. And we get into deficits probably when we don't have enough taxes coming in, right? And we already talked a little bit about the middle one. So I would say that the wars and conflicts are something that, you know, I feel really strongly that we not get in wars and conflicts unless there's a full discussion by Congress, and that we work a lot harder on diplomacy and on tough sanctions. I think the other thing is goes right back to the economy and the middle class. I mean, if we can bring back the middle class by investing in people, investing in infrastructure, investing in innovation, then it goes a long way toward getting dollars in their pocket and having that consistent consumption, you know, which has driven our country. We know trickle down has not worked. Trickle down economics did not work. I think you look back to the Keynesian models in the 30s, where they realized that it is this huge middle class that, in their purchasing, helps drive our economy. So I think that's really important to look at. I think also that, you know, we know that across the world, we need to bring some business back to the U.S. And innovation, as we talked about in technology transfer, I mean, who of us has not had a child or a friend who's waited in line for the latest phone or, you know, some sort of innovation? The U.S. has always been known for that. So we've got to get people trained so they can invent these things. We've got to invest in them. And we've got to bring back business to the U.S.
You mentioned wars and conflicts, and I want to kind of dovetail off that and talk about, do you think we're spending enough then on domestic national defense?
You know, I think that we have to have a strong military. And when I look at the spending for military, this is how I think about it. I think that we've got to have a strong military, be ready to defend ourselves. But I think that we have to be going forward. I think the American people are fatigued by war. I'm fatigued by war. And I think that we have to be much more thoughtful, and we have to be talking about why we're going to get into conflicts. I understand there will be times when we have to do that very quickly. But I think we really need to understand, and as a nation, understand why we're going in. Once we decide to go in, we have to spend the money to equip people who are going in harm's way. The other thing we have to make sure we do is keep our promise to veterans when they return home. I have been meeting with veterans all around the district, and it has renewed my interest in ensuring we keep our promises. We have people coming home after 2, 3, and 4 tours of duty, and they need assistance both physically and mentally, and we need to make sure that we are there for them. The other part about that budget that people don't think about very much is, you know, just the art of diplomacy, the art and science of diplomacy. And I think as a nation, we have to continue to get better at that. And I think we have to get better at sanctions and tough sanctions and working with the rest of the world on these things.
Final question, and it's a long one, but I'm sure you've thought about it. The U.S. House has held dozens of votes on whether to repeal, defund, or otherwise dismantle the Affordable Care Act. President Obama will not sign legislation repealing, defunding, or dismantling the legislation, but the law still remains unpopular with both parties. Most polls show most people are opposed to rather than supporting the law. What are your ideas for revising it?
Well, certainly I support the Affordable Care Act. I think it was a monumental move. We have needed health care reform in this country for a very long time. I was a Cub newspaper reporter in the early 80s and part of an award-winning series on health care reform. And I think that was in 1981 or 82. So it has been on the minds of the American people for a very long time. I think we made a good first step here. I do think there are fixes. I think that one of the things I'd like to see is insurance companies being able to compete across state lines. I think that's important. I'm interested in taking a look at the cooperative efforts that have sprung up in over 20 states providing health insurance. I think that from a small business standpoint, there's a cap for some of the benefits or taxes at 25 employees. I think that could be raised to 50. I also think that there's a time limit on some of the tax breaks, and I think we could lengthen that. And overall, I would just say ease of user friendliness, ease of getting into the program, and ease of just documentation for both individuals as well as for small business. All of that will go a long way. I mean, we've made a giant step in the healthcare. There are, you know, in the past, you could be dropped for a pre-existing or, you know, denied for a pre-existing condition. You know, women were charged more just for being women. You know, we have something in place there that is helping millions and millions of Americans. But we do need to make some fixes. But, you know, like anything that has been a monumental change, I think that, there are just little things that need to be done to perfect it.